So, und damit begrüße ich den letzten Vortragsgast für heute hier, Oliver Kleinen. Und ja, ich würde sagen, viel Spaß beim Vortrag.
Okay. So I'll start in English straight away. I'm really sorry that the presentation will not be in German. I get about 20 minutes of German practice per year now these days, so it's too difficult to start up cold like this on the presentation. So today indeed I want to talk about women in the free software and open source community and how come that we get so few of them in the community. And the abstract of the conference says that it's a story of love, story of passion, story of frustration, and story in which you are the hero, and I hope to live up to that. But before I start, and I will go again for a disclaimer just like the previous person did before, don't shoot right away. What I'm going to talk about is typically very controversial. My mom disagrees with me on some of the things I'm going to say here. So remember, my name is Olivier. I'm just a human person, right? And most importantly, I only speak for myself, right? I'm going to mention people in this conference. I'm part of some organizations. I work for a company, and I don't represent anyone, just myself. So let's start with Chapter 0 is introduction of our main person in the talk here, and that's a scruffy coder. And I'm sure you're pretty familiar with that person, so it will be very quick to introduce that. Coder codes, because that's what coders do. So they're on the computer on the Friday afternoon and just work through their project. Coding is not fixing the antivirus. It's much more than that. It's playing around with algorithms, mixing them, sharing them, improving them, creating new things with the same hardware. You can make many more things. It's really fun. It's not fixing Auntie Jane's antivirus, and it's not finding out why the neighbor's Wi-Fi stopped working after they installed a new printer or something like this, right? So inevitably, there is some misunderstanding. If I say to you, I'm a pilot, then everybody understands what the job is about. If I say to you, I'm a developer, people don't really understand what the job really is about. All they see is sitting in front of a computer all day. So inevitably, the coder starts to be different from the others because there's a lot of misunderstanding about what he is doing there. And what follows then is the coder is scruffy, usually not shaven, usually with a strange haircut, strange clothes. It's very easy to spot them on the train on the way to the TLT, right? You can tell immediately who is going to TLT throughout Germany. And this loops back because then scruffy coder is rather alone. You end up with a strange kind of people who are coding behind the screens, and that makes for a particular community, which I love, I feel very comfortable in, but is not really well understood by everybody around. That's just the main player. I'm sure you're familiar, so I don't spend too much time on it. But next is the story of love. Why love? Because whichever your reason for making software, free software, whether it's trying to change the world and build a new social system or just the best way you can think about to write code, it's all about love. It's about being happy, finding a new way to do something with a computer and showing it to other people and saying, oh, look, I can improve that. It's all about sharing. Nobody wants to discriminate anyone. You will never see somebody in any open source free software community saying, you're a woman, go out. So the question is, how come, if it's all about sharing, if anybody is welcome to come in, how come that we only get 2-3% women inside? You look closer, you get the human population with just a little bit more women than men, but that's represented up to scale. It's roughly 50-50. Then you get into IT, and IT gets bad. You get 22% women. That's the percentage of graduates in the 27 countries of Europe coming out of the IT universities, 22% women. But then you move into the free and open source software communities, and you fall down to this. Right? So my question today is really, why is it dwindling down like this? The further down into the communities you go, why it is important and why you should care about it. Right now, typically you're thinking, why is it so important? We've got so many other problems going on. We've got, who knows, software patents, we've got the environment, we've got so many problems. Why should I start thinking about, why moving the little colors on the diagrams there? And my point today, the most important things I want to say, that is that free software is not like football. And okay, it's something we do in the evenings, in the weekends. We do it for fun, mostly, rarely for money. It's typically a hobby activity. So it looks similar to football, but then again, we've got a huge sense of ethics, right? We want to share everything all the time. We've got some precise rules as what is allowed, what is not allowed. And then we go on to the parliament, the government going, say, we have to go out open standards, open network. We speak about how important software is in society. There is data protection, all sorts of things that make us really involved into society, pretending that software is really, really important. And that does not happen with hobbies like football or cycling, where maybe they are the same percentages of women, but the impact in society is much, much smaller. That mostly is setting for the story. And then we move on to the blonde. That's a nice part. The loop for the blonde is similar to the coder. First, you start with girls discovering computing later. On average, a girl will discover first use a computer 2 years after a boy. And on average, she will own her first computer 4 years after the boys. That's the way society works, and it means that you'll find less girls in computing. Right? It follows from that. Typically, you take age 15, less girls interested in computing than boys. And usually, girls grow up to be women, so you'll find less women in computing. The consequence of that is that the microphone is working a bit weird. The consequence of that is that computing is really associated with a masculine thing in our subconscious society thing. If I say jet fighter pilot or bus driver, you will probably think of a man, and it's the same thing in our society for computing. Right? Think of computing, it's a man. It follows from that the computer, the object itself, becomes a masculine thing. It's the way we react, the way we associate ideas in our society. And there we have the perfect setting to loop back to the start, right? An object which is masculine is less likely to arrive in the hands of a girl. So it loops back, and then we go on and on and on and on with very few women in computing. It's the problem of the egg and the chicken, right? Which came first? How do you start solving the problem? And I think it's much worse than just this drawing. I prefer to draw it this way, where you have an enormous chain of chicken and egg going round and round in circles within the society, and we're only part of it. We're here. That's the open source free software community, and we have very few women coming in, very few interaction happening there. And typically when you talk about the fact that there are few women in a free software community, we blame all the rest of the chain. Oh, but look, we have very few women in computing to start with, and that's because of society, da-da-da-da-da-da, without trying to look ourselves at our little bit of the problem. There is the equation of women with mainstream, and I think that's mostly human. You take any woman in the street, the likeliness that she is a geek doing Linux things is smaller than for any man. I was standing myself at a booth for a free software organization for quite a number of days, and you come naturally to equate women with mainstream if you are not careful enough. Excellent correlation, right? And of course you can guess what's on coming up on the slide. Yeah. Correlation isn't causation, right? The fact that a woman is most likely to be mainstream or not a geek or not in the free software community is not because she's a woman. It's just data correlation. If I could say it otherwise, the probability that you have a beard or a weird haircut and you go to the CLT, the correlation is excellent, right? But if you prevent people from growing beards or having weird haircuts, it will not prevent them from going to the CLT, or it will not affect the choice of their operating system. The same goes for women, right? That is something that's really hard to get into our heads. Our human brains, I think, are not really designed to accept that fact. And it takes a lot of effort to start to think when you see a woman that she's not automatically mainstream, not associate one with the other, even though there's excellent correlation. The result is that we in the community have a very bad image of women generally, bad representation, bad perception of women, really equate that with blondes, with sexy people, but not really as human and powers like this. And I think that's really too bad. Quotes I've received from many women during the last 2 years, but what that kind of situations they encounter in life, they receive quotes like this: "You're not really a woman, you're one of us." Right? You have the CD, when given live CD, use it with, you know, this side up into the computer. And of course the classic, "So you know what source code is, right?" And then the woman answers, "Yeah, of course." "No, but really, you know what it is. It's the code." Yeah. Okay. So it's all that kind of thing that I'm sure these things are said in a nice, friendly, maybe funny way, but it can get really disturbing and painful after a while to receive these remarks all the time. So what I'm going to say about this is pretty tough, pretty strange situation, and it needs a lot of work, I think. It's not going to change just like this, because it calls to human thoughts that we don't necessarily control or pay attention to. And this brings us to the chapter 3 about frustration. Typically, there are three ways you can deal with a problem. If you want more women in the free software community, you can have three ways. First way is brute force, and that's really easy. Okay? So it's just a way to say, okay, you can have when you give code access to your repository to somebody, you check whether he's a man or woman and discriminate men against women. If you're at the CLT, you can say, okay, this talk proposal is really total crap, but always she's a woman, so we'll be nice, and we need more women anyway, so you include the women anyway. Okay, so what I mostly have to say about this method is just, bah, it doesn't work. It's stupid, and it's really too bad that most people associate dealing with a problem of women in software with the brute force technique. Think it's the only way we can deal with the problem. I don't think it's the only way we can deal with the problem. Second method is, let's not discriminate. And that's very simple. You make a very clear, very open statement at some point that discrimination is very bad. Then you go on to say, all humans are equal and love is good. So don't discriminate to women. Be very nice. Then nothing happens for 6 months, and after 6 months you stand there and you go, discrimination is bad. All humans are equal and love is good. Right. But this is typically the way that companies, for example Canonical, deal with the problem. They make very official, very nice, neat statements that we should not discriminate. But of course nobody wants to discriminate. I'm sure nobody refuses women in their community. It's a much more subtle mechanism than that. So let's discriminate. All I have to say about this is, meh, doesn't quite work. So we're left with the third way to deal with the problem, and that is the hard way. Okay? I say it's the hard way because we've really got some way to go. This is some advertising in a French magazine from general IT, including Windows computing. And it's a remark that this is a printer that can do so many things your dumb blonde secretary will believe it can also do toast. Right? That's the way we see women in IT. And okay, that was for just Windows, but this is for Linux stuff. Don't feel bad. Our servers won't go down on you either. That's so just to be clear, to go down on someone is to give oral sex to that person. So here we have the only woman in the magazine, which is displayed in a very, very insulting way, very negative way, because she won't go down on somebody. And all that to do what? To sell server space. Okay? So, okay, you can say, well, it's just two assholes in some kind of weird company, but okay, but then the Linux Journal magazine didn't have to run the ad, right? And the OSCON conference, that's a very big event in the US, big size of the TLT times two, I think, two times bigger than the TLT, didn't have to hand out the magazines for free at the entrance, right? And just more to the point, we as a community, we could have trashed this company, trashed the general image, and we failed to do that, and that's really a pity. So way to go, that's what I'm going to say. We've got a lot of work we can do about it. And this is where it comes to passion, because once people start working on this, they get all passionate. I think both ways, the good way and the bad way. One big thing that crops up very often is women groups. Women groups are groups like the Linux Chicks, maybe you've heard about them. This is an advertising for the French chapter, the French part of the Linux Chicks. And this says, this woman hates mice. she prefers command line interface. Right? So it's just an informal group of women who discuss together about the problem, also provide themselves with help on all kinds of topics, on basic computing and open source software, and so on. And you would not believe the amount of hostility that these women receive. And the argument usually goes, and how can you solve a problem of discrimination with discrimination? Right? You refuse to gather around with boys, it's just girls, girls-only groups. How can you solve the problem? Well, I think it's the wrong way to see the thing. I think there's a lot of pressure, social pressure on these women in the community, and they're just seeking to have relief, to gather around together and just stay together because the social pressure is smaller. And I know that because I have a special job. I'm a teacher in a university, and I'm 20 years younger than the youngest of my colleagues. So inevitably, all the students, all the teachers, all the administration always believe I'm a student. Right? And there's no discrimination. They don't think it's bad. There's no pressure. There's no direct pressure. But the social pressure is inevitably high, and if I had colleagues that were my age, I would be glad to join with them just once a week, maybe, just to ease off the pressure. And I think it's the same thing for these women. They don't pretend to have a solution for the problem, but they come under a lot of hostility just because they seek to relieve a little bit of pressure. So just to make the point, the Linux Chicks motto is A, women are back, B, boys are losers, or C, be polite, be helpful. Right? It's C, of course. Okay? It's crazy that a group of women who seek to go together just to be isolated from boys have a motto which just says, be polite, be helpful. Actually, they're really, really kind people. You can talk with them. They're really open to discussion. It's really nice. Minimum miniskirt height. That's another big topic that gathers a lot of effort, useless agitation and hostility. So it starts like this. This is an advertising that ran in Lisson, which is a group of cities not far from where I live, near Paris. And this says, Les Yvelines, which is the group of cities, the department, the group of cities, which is crazy about technology. Right? I love techno on a t-shirt supposed to mean technology. And I saw this flying around the internet. I thought, well, it's the wrong way to attract investors into that place than put a poster with a sexy woman. So I wrote to the head of the département, Monsieur Bédier, and I said, well, you're not going to improve the solution, improve the situation with that. That's not a solution. And he answered saying, essentially, you don't get it. And yet, why? Because the point is to disturb. You're disturbed by the woman there. But that's the point. Advertising works like this. If it doesn't disturb, it doesn't work. And he said, well, look at art. Look at paintings. And I thought, well, he's got a point. Right? This sculpture is 2,000 years old. This drawing here, which looks like modern art, I don't know anything about art, this from 1916. Right, we weren't even born. This was painted already. Not a big problem. And have you heard about Marianne? Who knows Marianne? Okay, I'm French, right? So in France, okay, we don't drive very fast on the motorway. And okay, we cannot run trains on time. But we've got good cheese and we've got Marianne. And Marianne is the symbol of our republic. She's a woman and you can see her anywhere. You turn a French coin around, you see Marianne. You buy a stamp, you see Marianne. And in every mairie, you will see mairie's Hausstadt, Rathaus. You will see Marianne. This is a painting, latest Coldplay album, but behind that, of course, is the painting with Marianne, with holding the French flag for the Revolution, and so on. And if you go to a mairie, you will inevitably, I think it's mandatory, it's the law, that you have a statue of Marianne hanging around, often with see-through clothes where you can see the breast. And if you're lucky, you have a breast sticking out for our symbol of the Republic. So there's no way we should be shocked about seeing women in advertising. In fact, I said, okay, well, that guy's got a point, so let's make a union. I made the Protection of Righteousness United Developers Union, and what we stand for is minimum miniskirt length of 25 centimeters, no see-through clothes, and max breast size D. No. Okay, this is a misunderstanding. And I really want to spend some time on this. This spells prude, by the way, P-R-U-D-E, the thing. It's not about complaining about seeing women on advertising. It's not about being shocked about nudity and so on. And I'm not complaining on these terms to the guy who made the advertising. It's not about a guy going, ooh la la, first time he sees a woman with breasts. And actually, I put it big up there and want to really make the statement, I do not have any problem with the way this woman is dressed or displayed. Really, I'm in the secret of how we make babies, you know, it's fine, no problem. So what is wrong? What is wrong with this advertising here, which is, by the way, displayed fully, it's not cropped, I haven't cropped it this way. Why did I bother writing to the head of the département? What is so bad about this is that this sends a message to the outside world about the technology, in this case technology, but it could be the open source free software communities. And we keep speaking out. Right now, this minute, as I'm speaking, there are probably 10 people who have just heard about this free software, open source software thing. They're Googling around, they're clicking around the web, trying to find out whether they want to participate or not. And they're taking decisions. And that kind of poster says, this community is for men. So that's what's wrong with it. With posters that are mostly directed at men, it just sends a message, well, you know, women are welcome, but this is just a men-only community. But you're welcome to come along. And I think that's the main problem. So whenever the argument goes around minimum miniskirt height, right, and that kind of argument, how much we should see on the poster, da-da-da-da-da-da, I think it's the wrong problem. People have not understood what really the point is. If you're not sure, about your poster, if it's too directed at men, try it with teenagers. You take the poster, you find a group of 15-year-olds, you show the poster. If girls and guys react differently, too differently, then rework again. And the last chapter of the story is about you, because you're the hero of the story. I told you so at the start. And your mission is to move the orange little bit here back in the center. And you might think, well, or it's not really motivating for a task, but how about putting it the same statistics? This is displayed on there is 2%. Polls vary between 1 and 3% for the percentage of women in the community. See it this way and then ask yourself, well, how can I fill that bit here? Because every 10 women you get in your community, 10 extra women, doesn't mean you're going to lose 10 guys, right? It's much easier. So that's many more people. So how do you do it? Well, I have three proposals. The first is to work on automatic assumptions, automatic associations of ideas, right? I talked earlier about the correlation between women and mainstream. I worked hard on it when holding the booth of the organization. It worked, right? You can dissociate women from mainstream just if you work on it a little bit. Second thing is spring cleanup. Go through your forum, go through the wiki, go through the logs of the RSC channels, and look around for things that could discourage women from staying in, right? Make sure that it doesn't happen again. Make sure that you don't get sexist, supposedly funny jokes about women, because it keeps them out of the community, makes them feel usually unwelcome and tired about the way, about our attitude. Third thing is be polite, be helpful. And that's really important. That's the Linux Chicks motto. Of course, it applies to new women coming in your community, but it also applies to the people who will inevitably oppose what you are doing. So if you remove a nice poster like the Firefox poster I put up there, you're going to get 10 people who really complain about it, about censorship, about, oh, but you must be gay probably because you don't understand why we look at this picture and so on. It's not the point, right? So you need to be polite and you need to be helpful and show these people that it's not helping them and to keep these pictures up. Right there. One such effort I made was to build a small website. That's the whole website here. It's called gendershouldn'tmatter.org. That explains the problem really in a 2-minute read and explain what should and should not be done within communities to do that. Well, it needs much improvements, but that can be worked on, no problem. So I'm coming to the end. I will not take too much time for this, but really I want to make a few important points and remind you that, first of all, software is not football. Keep that in mind. When we go everywhere explaining to everyone how important it is to have open software, it means that it's more than just a hobby. Also, when somebody can say on his or her CV that he or she can write software, it's a big plus, right? Nobody cares about what football club you're part of. So it's really something that's important to society, and we have an important role to play about this. Second thing is decide for yourself, right? You don't need to be qualified. You don't need to have made 10 years and PhD in social science to decide for yourself about what the situation is and why it is that women are so rare in the open source free software community. So most often people say, okay, well, it's natural. Women are just naturally less interested in computing sciences. I personally disagree with that, but that just anyway explains the jump from the first two. That is too high. I'm used to showing things on the blackboard here. But it explains the jump from 50% to 20 to 30% in IT. Explains why there are so few women in IT generally. But then you have to explain. You have to find an explanation if you take a position in here on why from 20% of women in IT we go down to 2% in free open source software. Somewhere along the way we lost people. We discouraged people. And you got to find the reason why. Think about it. Women are cool. It sounds stupid to write, but there's really something experienced. I've had incredible luck for making several studies in several places in my life. And in one study, we had classrooms like this with 104 guys and 3 girls inside. And the second part of my studies, I came back and there were 50% women in the classroom. And I can tell you, it's night and day. I tried to describe it on the board, but it's indescribable. It's just so much healthier, so much nicer. It's beyond word. Also, women are cool in the sense that you bring them into your community. You bring cool into your community. Well, people want to go into a community where there are 50% women. It's really attractive. So if you're doing PHP and you're losing people because they all want to do Python, well, that's a good way to attract them back, right? The same thing goes for Python. You want more PHP guys? There you go. So the key idea I want to say is that gender shouldn't matter, right? It's sure we shouldn't be even thinking or even talking about it. Should not be any problem at all. But meanwhile, before it doesn't, it does right now. We have to think about it. Usually people say, okay, I don't want positive discrimination, so let's just not talk, not think, not count about it. That's too bad, right? Start thinking about it. Start at least explaining to yourself why it is so. And I'll finish on one quick quote by Barry Deutsch, who is a guy who did a lot for the position of women in our society, recognition of society of women in our society. And he says, feminism for me is not charity work. And it's really an idea I want to communicate to you before you go home. You should not think of a problem as, oh, and now I also have to worry about the position of women in the free open source software community. But just as in, it's so much healthier. Everybody's happier with it. Women, men, your whole community is thriving. There are many more people coming in. There's nothing to lose in there. So start worrying about it and it'll be really productive. This is the last slide now. On top is linuxchicks.org. That's the Linux Chicks organization, which has lots of good documentation, good explanation, friendly people to help you along, understand the problem, talk about the problem. Second address, that's a horrible 20-letter domain name. I'm not very good at choosing domain names, so it needs a better domain. That's a very brief website I showed you at some point in the talk that says just sums up what I've talked about in a few words. And below is my email in case you're too shy to ask questions right now. Thank you very much for coming. And my name is Olivier. In case you have any questions, I'd be happy to hear them. There's a question here. The second one? Yeah, it shouldn't. It's horrible. It's horrible. If anybody has got a better domain name and it's free, I mean, I'll register it tonight for that website. I'm bad at doing this. So, its gender should not matter, but shouldn't condense into... I really apologize. I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed when I wrote the slides to put it up there. But hopefully you can help me along. Maybe it needs also a translation. Why not in German as well? Yes, a question over there.
What do you think about the thought that pre-software... By the way it was born, essentially a male thing, because if you go back to like 1985, I think about the GNU Manifesto. It was essentially a declaration of war against commercial software. So it's like we can do this open, we can do this free, we can do this better than Microsoft or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty competitive. So I think that partially makes it a male thing, because it's a bit missing the social part of we can just do it. It recently has been starting to change. People realize they don't need to compare with Apple or Microsoft or whatever, and they can just write good code. Mm-hmm. That probably it would like lose the male connotation.
Perhaps. I don't think anyway. Okay. Well, that's an idea, but perhaps it is so. I don't believe personally it is the case. I don't believe that most people come here to compete with Microsoft, for example. Although it certainly gives a satisfaction every time they launch something like Vista, saying, look what we can do. So it might explain. I mean, but anyway, whatever were the intentions at the origin, we still now have a situation where women are not welcome. Authority, the ability to influence others certainly plays a part. It can be shown that women have less authority, say, in oral conversation. You can interrupt a woman more easily than a man on average, and that plays a lot. Has a lot of influence. Say, we like to call ourselves meritocracies, you know, but it's mostly up to the loudest and most influential person on the mailing list to get the access to the repository, and women have a bad head start on this, on average, this correlation. That's only part of the problem. There are many ramifications. Yes. Okay. Take your point. Any more questions? Just one in front. Whew.
Only one comment to the history lesson. The first person who created something like a programming language was Lady Ada Lovelace. The second thing is when you look at the first computer kind of things during World War II, most of them were administered by women. So, for example, the machines that were administered hacking the Enigma encryption system were mostly women.
Okay, well, thanks for the history lesson. I'm very bad at this. Yeah.
To continue the history lesson, the term bug was also invented by a woman, just to fill it up. What I was actually going to say is maybe a little proposal for the women in here. What I've seen is that considering the lack of women in open source, what women do is that when they join a project, and there's a woman already in it, they like to approach that woman. So I know that from my own experience. I do a lot of lots of PR work, and I often have girls or women approach me after my talk saying, so you're in my case, the Debian project, and I think it's real cool, I would like to join. Once you have, what I've seen is that once you have one woman in a project who is really open and public and recognized and so on, you get more of them, because it's true, if you have a pure male group, the first woman to enter will always have a pretty high threshold to overcome. But once there are women in, more women will automatically follow, because they can take some confidence in you. They say, hey, could you maybe introduce me? They have somebody to ask the seemingly embarrassing questions to, and so on. So what I would like to propose, or actually to encourage, is to the women in here who are in free software projects, to be a bit more public about it. Even more public than necessary. So write lots of emails, mention it on your website, get a picture of you on the net maybe, because often people have, not because you're pretty, but because you're women, and because it just basically gives a visual sign, give talks and all kinds of things, because there are actually lots of women, but most of them are really not, they're almost invisible. They commit silently. They hardly ever write to mailing lists. They certainly don't show up on chats, whatever. So if you are one of these women, I would like to encourage you to be a bit more public about your being in a part of a project and doing a bit more PR, actually for yourself and for the fact that there's actually women in your project.
Yeah, thanks for the remark. Yeah, it's indeed the case that women works as catalysts. You get a few of them to start with, and then it gets a little bit better progressively. Yeah, that's true. There's the question right in the middle over there.
Okay. Hallo? Kann
ich hören? You have to talk very close to it, I think, or...
No? Blah, blah, yeah. Okay. Thanks for introducing the issue. What I thought about was that sexism, or if it's conscious or not, is maybe just one category in which discrimination happens. But I think there are others. I would like to mention too, for example, how people share their knowledge about technology in little situations where they explain things in a user group or elsewhere. I observe very different modes of coping together. Yeah, if, for example, if the person who has the knowledge makes the other person feel, aha, you don't even know, blah, blah, blah. Or there are very subtle ways of establishing little hierarchies. And they can be linked to gender, but they can also happen between anybody.
Yeah. Okay, so you mean that women, trying to say that women could be discouraged from entering the free open source software communities because they communicate in different ways, or because they...
No.
No? Sorry, I misunderstood that.
No, this is not necessarily linked to gender.
Okay.
What I mean,
okay.
It can
so
happen between men
kind
or
of
between
okay, different kinds of personalities
or any people.
That's true.
And it's just a different... it's maybe different categories that overlap. Like gender, knowledge, color, whatever.
Sure. Okay.
I just wanted to say gender is not the only...
Okay, gender is not the only direction. Yes, it's true. All that what I've said anyway, some effort to at least count up different kinds of people that are in your community, that all works also for other kind of groups. It's true that look at the skin color in the room here, look at the age... the average age here, it's all very unified. It's all one group, a tight group. So you open up to women, and doing the same, you will open up to other kinds of people too. Yes. Any more questions? No, nothing at all? Okay, well, in this case, thank you very much for coming, and have a pleasant evening. The film, I cannot switch to German very easily. The Night of the Free Films is starting very soon. So, we're happy. Thanks for coming.